Shabbos is going to be an exciting day on our calendar because we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Balak. And of course, Parshas Balak tells us all about how Balak hired Bilam to go ahead and go curse the Jewish people. God was not interested in Bilam's going to curse the Jewish people. And so he tells him no at the beginning, and then thereafter, Bilam continues with his obstinacy, and Hashem lets him go, but on his way, he meets up with an angel whom he can't see. His donkey can see, but he can't see. So he whacks the donkey multiple times, and the Torah tells us, Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'ason, that Hashem opened up the mouth of the donkey. Now, on other occasions, we noted the commentaries that are amazed by Bilam's obstinance in not even noticing he was speaking to a donkey. Those commentaries castigate Bilam's lack of self-awareness. Rav Gifter looks at the issue differently. He too notes the contradiction between the miraculous, the opening of the donkey's mouth, and the expected. But even someone with the lofty spiritual levels like Bilam allows himself to allow contradictions to exist in the very same person at the same time. And if it's true for him, it's certainly true for us. And it makes us responsible not only to allow ourselves to be not content, it encourages us not to be content with contradictions in life. We need to stop sometimes and think to ourselves, gee, is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us? Further in the parasha, we read that Bilam turns around and he tells the angel, Chatasi, I sinned, ki lo yadati ki atani tzav l'krasi baderech. I sinned because I didn't know you were standing in front of me. And if Bilam didn't see the Malach, so in what way did he sin that he asked to say Chatasi? So the Shalach Kaddish explains that the ignorance is not always an excuse. When a person should have known, he or she cannot declare ignorance. Rabbi Twersky Zatzal, Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, that is, added that when there are matters that no special knowledge is required, not using common knowledge thought is punishable. So the concept of Omalcha Shamayim means that one doesn't have the liberty to act without thinking, and doing so is reckless and careless, and it makes one chayev, it makes him liable. So later on, we read about how Bilam tried on a number of occasions to curse the Jewish people, and it didn't work. So Vayoshes el Hamidbar Panav, he turned his face towards the desert. And Rashi explains that Bilam planned on highlighting all of B'nai Yisrael's transgressions here in order to get Hashem angry at us. And so hence Bilam turned towards the desert where the Cheda Ego would be remembered. Now Rav Volbi Zatzal noted that proper tshuva for a sin should not include deep analysis of the sin, because the more that one thinks about it, the more susceptible he or she comes to repeating it. Take a look. All he did was look towards the desert, and now everyone is thinking about the sins of Am Yisrael. Kara shachav kari uchlavi mi kemenu. Bilam also declares, they're like a nation that arises like a lioness and raises itself like a lion, not lying down until it consumes its prey. The late great Rabbi Ozer Glickman Zatzal noted that the description of rising and going to rest and the simile to lions as relevant to our people who need to approach Torah and mitzvos with a valor, as spirituality needs to be earned. And so hence the Shulchan Aruch begins with a requirement to Yisgaber Ka'ari, to arise like a lion to serve Hashem. Torah elevates life and does not provide an escape from it. And that's something for us to think about. Tamos nafshi mos yisharim uti achrisi kamo, Bilam declares, I want to die the death of a yisharim. So Bilam seeks the death of a Jew, since the Jewish life to him is not a hedge of roses. However, the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal notes, it's no kunst to die like a Jew. The bigger challenge is to live like a Jew. And sometimes in our lives, people forget that. So later, Bilam turns around and he tries the last thing he tries. Erenu v'lo atash, erenu v'lo karov. He starts his final nevuah and he says, I'll see him, but not now. And the Gemara notes that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Chamisha Chumashim and Parshas Bilam. And there are many questions as to what Parshas Bilam refers to. Some people suggest it was a lost work, but Mori V'Rabbi Roshechter Shalita noted that he thought it was a reference to Nevuas Bilam and was not a difficulty. After all, Moshe wrote the Ikari Emuna and included therein should be a belief in Mashiach. And so the belief in Mashiach is identified in this Pasuk, Darach Kocha Miyakov. And so hence, the Gemara wants us to know that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this section of the Torah and was including Bias HaMashiach in it, so that we know Moshe Rabbeinu believed in Mashiach, we will as well. Unfortunately, though, at the end of the parsha, we read that Bilam had some success. Vayitzamed Yisrael lebal Peor. Am Yisrael became attached to Baal Peor. Now, how did Am Yisrael become addicted to Peor if it was so antithetical to their existence? The whole existence of Am Yisrael, as described by the same one, as described by Bilam himself, is Matovu Alecha Yaakov, that people had a certain degree of tznius with themselves. So how is it that they became so attached to Baal Peor? And how is it that 3,000 people died in the Chet HaEgel, but here it's Arbove Asrim Aleph, it's 24,000? So Rav Amital Zatzal suggested that there's a basic ideological struggle between man's animalistic tendency and who he really wants to be. Peor represents the natural animalistic sentiment of the human without a sense of busha. That lifestyle is devoid of Torah. It's the style of Adam and Chava. It's the style that Adam and Chava had. And Bnei Yisrael are supposed to live mul Peor. We're supposed to live opposite that style, going against the natural grain, where we have no sense of busha. We're supposed to have a sense of busha and a sense of tznius, as we'll see in the Haftorah in a moment. And the final thought I want to express for this week comes from Micha, who declares, Ketal Me'es Hashem, that Sheiris Yaakov is going to be declared to be like the dew. Why do we compare Bnei Yisrael to be like the dew? So Rav David Feinstein's Atzal explained that this refers to the Jews who survived the persecutions and hatreds of the nation. They will be like dew, the heavenly gift which Hashem provides even when we are undeserving. So even when there's a shortage of rain, you just have to understand that the dew continues. And similarly, Am Yisrael will not only survive, but will be a bracha to the host nation, like dew is always a bracha. And we need to be able to understand that, appreciate it, and carry our bracha tendencies forward. We are quickly approaching this wonderful Shabbos, the Shabbos that gives us a chance to understand what the nations of the world are thinking about us, and how we need to act when we are among them, and how we should not act. And Be'ezras Hashem, if we master this, then there's no limit to how far we can go to mastering even other great things, and get to the great day, a Shabbat Shalom to all.